Hello, I'm Stephen Goodwin. It's Tuesday, December the 11th, and welcome to episode number 14 of The Beer Crate, the podcast for ale lovers the world over. Each week, we'll be looking at the world of beer and brewing, investigating local, national, and international breweries, and of course, tasting a wide selection of beers, ales, and ciders. Lager boys need not apply. Coming up in today's show, we have news, a discussion on wheat beer, we look at Cornwall's finest, St. Austell, quick tastings, and our try before you die section. So let's get cracking. News. And the binge drinking row we commented on last week has erupted, with questions being asked in the UK House of Commons. Labour MP John Grogan spoke out during a debate in the House, calling the boss of Tesco, Sir Terence Leahy, the godfather of binge drinking. This is a continuation on Tesco's policy of selling low-cost alcohol, and in some cases selling it at below-cost price, just to get the increase in custom. It has also been suggested that Tesco are encouraging underage drinkers to buy beer. What is true, however, it's not just Tesco that are responsible for this. It's all supermarkets. And it's not just supermarkets that are causing binge drinking. But it is a prime factor in the increase of kids on the street drinking White Lightning and other such morbidities. While it is probably true that supermarkets are helping fuel this custom in the underage drinkers, they shouldn't be selling it to them in the first place. And that's the problem that they have to stop. The normal responsible adult shouldn't have to forfeit anything, and certainly should not be burdened with a problem that is not their making. This is a debate that is certainly not over yet, and as the soapbox swings from one side to the other, hopefully there's a middle ground lurking soon. And in positive news, we can announce the winners of the BII-NTIA, that's the British Institute of Innkeeping, the professional body for the licensed retail sector. The Supreme Award winner in 2007 went to Green King Pub Partners, as did the Best Development Programme in Non-Managed Estates. The Managed Estates Award here went to a well-deserved Riley's. Spirit Group and Charles Wells came up tops in the Best Licensee Induction Programme for Managed and Non-Managed Estates, respectively. Also of note, particularly given the other news item this week, were the awards for the social responsibility, with Poppleston Allen winning for on licenses and Capra & Co. for off licenses. And finally, to rub further salt in Tesco's corporate wounds, they were beaten in the Best Development Programme in Licensed Retail by Morrison's. As far as I know, all beer festivals have ended for this year, so there is no drinker's diary. This is a traditional change of season, where the quality of supping ale is replaced for quantity at Christmas parties. But if you're still gagging, then at the 7th Derby 12th Night Winter Beer Festival, which begins on the 3rd of January, to your calendar for next year. What is wheat beer? Wheat beer is, as the name suggests, one that is brewed with wheat. Depending on the brew, this is not necessarily at the exclusion of barley, since it is still common for them to contain malts. The wheat itself provides a light flavour and colour, and often has citrus fruity and spicy tastes. Typically, wheat beers are cloudy, top fermented and unfiltered. This allows the yeast to continue to ferment in the bottle, and unlike most other beers, it is usual to drink the beer with the yeast suspended. They are also characterised by large white heads. The most famous of wheat beers, at least in the UK, is Hoegaarden, and like all the best beers, comes in its own custom glass, this one having a distinctive chunky hexagon shape and usually being served with a piece of lemon. For the multilinguists, wheat beer is known as Witbier in Belgium and Weissbier in Germany, although this is almost used exclusively in Bavaria, as Weizenbier is used outside. Additionally, Hefeweizen is used to indicate that the beer is bottled conditioned, with Hefe being the German word for yeast, contrasting with Kristallweissbier, which indicates it is unfiltered. There are also dark wheat beers available, being termed Dunkelsweissbier, and bock styles, called Weizenbock. For the chefs among you, wheat beer is a truly versatile beer when it comes to cooking. It has a certain lightness which makes it good with starters or fish. Even delicately flavoured fish, such as salmon and caviar, can be cooked well with white beer. It also has an acidity and citrus flavour, which allows it to work with goat's cheese. In fact, when it comes to cheese, there are a whole list of other combinations that are worth considering, but we'll save that for another podcast. St. Austell is a traditional Cornish brewery that began in 1851 from the ideas of Walter Hicks, as he sold malt to the other brewers in the area. But it wasn't until 1863 when he bought the Seven Stars Inn that he started brewing, and not until 1869 when he built a steam brewery in the middle of St. Austell, Cornwall. Various family members took over, and despite a tragic accident killing Walter Hicks Jr. in 1911, it has continued as it began as an independent, family-owned regional brewer. For those familiar with Cornish life, the impression might be that St. Austell is a small, rustic brewery. In fact, it has always had technology somewhere in its midst. They had one of the first telephones with the dialing number of 4, they used trucks in 1926 instead of horses, and automated corking machines. It has naturally grown since then, with 167 hotels and pubs to its name, split between managed, leases, and tenancies. One feature of the St. Austell Ales is the presence of the castle on the pumps. This is a direct reference to the brewery, although it wasn't always that way, and the original bottles of St. Austell's beer featured the swastika, which was removed in the 1930s when the Nazi Party perverted its use. Of the 35,000 barrels of beer sold each year, most were of tribute ale. This is a 4.2% premium Cornish ale and is available outside the primary Devon and Cornwall catchment area and available in most supermarkets and pubs around the country. They also produce Clouded Yellow, that we'll be reviewing soon, Admiral's Ale, and HSD. They are also one of the first in the UK to produce commercial free beer, a brew created by the open source community where the recipe is provided for free, providing that anyone using it describes what changes they make. Freebeer.org will tell you more. Tastings. In this section, we give a brief yet discriminating summary of a number of different beers from around the world. All have been personally tasted and graded. Naturally, everyone has different tastes, and these are mine, so your mileage may vary. Old Slug, from the RCH Brewery. This is so named because of the slug problem that RCH had in their own brewery several years ago, and the fact that this beer leaves a trail down the side of the glass. Beer-wise, this is a black-looking porter with dual hops of Fuggles and Goldings, and much stronger than the 4.5% would suggest. Its taste is concentrated in the coffee malt, with over-hints of bitter chocolate. There's also touches of blackcurrant and black cherry here, the latter of which tend to confuse me as to where the focus should be, the fruit or the porter. Consequently, I'm awarding it 6.5 out of 10. Old Bob from Ridley's. Now produced through Green King. This is a rounded, smooth red bitter, with a dark, spicy and fruity aroma. Enjoyable direct mouthfeel, but with many complexities, this lacks additional layers, although that's not a problem here, since it's not a session ale, nor a supper, so it's suitable for a few after-works drinks. Also look for a slight dry chalk finish and a touch of cream. It comes in at 5.1%, and earns a satisfying 8 out of 10. Old Trip, from Hardy's and Hanson's, but now also through Green King. This is a 4.7% beer, which starts with a fizzy head and follows through with a thin but firm bitter taste. While this is decent, it's fairly one-dimensional, and although there's a really good bitterness in the aftertaste, the thinness really begins to get to you by the bottom of the glass. No, it could have been so much more. I'd have it again, but at 7 out of 10, I'd probably have the option of something else. Scrumdown from Twickenham Fine Ales. Coming from the home of English rugby, Twickenham, this is an occasional beer from the Surrey Brewery. Brewed with both dark crystal and chocolate malts, this is a smooth bitter with a crisp malty top. At 3.9%, it looks like a dark golden beer with a creamy head, but alas, doesn't live up to the visuals. The dual malts may deter some as well, giving it an uncharacteristic harsh flavour instead of the earthiness you might expect. 6.5 out of 10. Try Before You Die. In this section of the show, we will cast a discerning eye over the best beers that this world has to offer. We shall mention its history, the brewery behind the beer, and why we feel this is a superior brew worthy of your attention. This week, Golden Pride from Fuller's. This is from the same genus as Fuller's most famous beer, London Pride. This one, however, clocks in at a much increased rate of 8.5%, but while still holding a number of subtle flavours and variations. It's a mahogany red colour with toffee spices and malt flavours, and it has a range like hops that mix very well with the sweet malts and barley. Essentially, imagine a London Pride, but turning it up to 11. This is a very good, nicely rounded beer. This is available in cask and bottle, and there's not a lot to distinguish between them, which is always good news, since it is easier to find the bottles than the casks. The history of Fuller's was discussed way back in episode number 3, but suffice to say, it is the stalwart of London beer life, having been brewed in Chiswick for over 350 years. What's more important this week, however, is that you find Golden Pride. It's good, fulsome, and definitely a try before you die. Okay, that wraps it up for this week. To give us a tasting of your opinions, you can email us on thebeercrate@gmail.com. If you prefix the subject line with two colons, you can be sure to avoid the spam filters. Remember to enjoy everything from the Beer Crate safely and responsibly, so you can be back here with us next week. Until then, cheers. Has been released under the Creative Commons Attribution, No Commercial, No Derivatives version. See www.thebeercrate.com for details.